Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program that introduces you to the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Today's program over News Talk 1310 WBFD is hosted by Lloyd Roach. Bedford County Speaks is heard every Saturday at this time. Now let's join Lloyd for this week's discussion on Bedford County Speaks.
Thank you, Mac DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly public affairs program over News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented as a public service by DestinationDelco.com. From Philly to the Brandywine, that's DestinationDelco.com. And by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, right here on Route 220 in Bedford. That's Thomas, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. I'll return in a moment with today's guests, Marty Malone and Aaron Craig of the P. Joseph Lehman Company, as Bedford County Speaks continues.
DestinationDelco.com, a new way to experience Delaware County. From Philly to the Brandywine, we have the Crossroads, Riverside, Main Streets, Main Line, and the Brandywine. Five different ways to experience Delaware County. Check us out at DestinationDelco.com. Be sure to listen to Bedford County Speaks, brought to you by DestinationDelco.com. Saturdays at 8:30 a.m., just before Rush, on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
I remember when I was a kid, there was a slogan on the television. I had it on the radio, too. It said, if you have it, it came in a truck. The Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association or somebody, the National Truck Association, had that as a slogan. And I always remember that every time I get on a highway here in Bedford County. Bedford County is blessed with some remarkable highways. With us are two experts on this subject, Marty Malone and Aaron Craig, both of P. Joseph Lehman. And I realize this is not a household name to you because you can't go down to the giant food market and pick up some P. Joseph Lehman. But what these guys are, professional engineers, professional civil engineers, and they work in a realm that you and I know very little about. We see them kind of. Your closest contact with the work they do will probably be on a road construction project when you see the little guy holding up the sign saying slow, merge to one lane or something like that. So I want to very much welcome Marty. Marty, thank you very much for coming and doing this today. Appreciate
Thanks
it.
For having me, Lloyd.
And also to Aaron, whose first time on our radio show, so we're so excited to have you, Aaron.
Thank you, Lloyd.
Okay. Marty actually conned Aaron into coming on the show today, so we can just blame everything on Marty. But since Marty is a big experienced guy, it's the second time we've had him on the program, I'm going to address that maybe a couple of my first questions to you.
Sure.
Bedford County hires a lot of professional help to do what they need to do. And they hire your company to do what?
We are the civil / consulting engineer for the county. And we've had that role for over 40 years in Bedford County. And they do hire a lot of professionals to help them with issues in the county. And we were, you know, hired 40 years ago and have hopefully done a good job and keeps us coming back. You know, Bedford County went through a qualifications-based selection and to select us for this position. So,
well, obviously you must be doing something right or they're not paying attention, one or the other.
Well, and I think, you know, not only from a professional standpoint and the quality that we deliver, but we really love Bedford.
Yeah.
We really do.
Well, we have a Bedford expert with us. At least I'm told that you are. Actually, you're an expert in your own right, I'm sure, Aaron. But Aaron is a professional engineer with the firm. And you, I understand, are the person in charge of Bedford County. I know you do a lot of counties, but this is your, Bedford's yours?
Right. I guess I act as the liaison, if you will, between our company and the county.
Tell me about some of the work that they've done recently. You know what I'm familiar with most? The covered bridges. When you walk into the courthouse, you see these wonderful pictures you guys hung on the walls. And so, but you obviously do some more than other things besides fixed covered bridges.
Sure. I mean, one of the big roles that we play have played over the past four decades has been through in the bridge inspection program. So we are responsible for inspecting all of the county-owned bridges, and there are roughly 40 bridges that are owned by the county. So we inspect those on a regular basis and make recommendations to the county as to how to maintain them. And on occasion, we do major rehab work for them. So as you mentioned, we just completed a major rehab on a county-owned bridge in Mann Township. The bridge was just reopened in May, And hopefully we won't have to do any significant maintenance on that bridge again during my career. But so that's the big, probably the biggest role that we play is in the county bridge work.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that every single time they build a bridge, they have to go to plans, they have to measure everything, and then they put the bridge in, and it's a big deal, and they have to make sure the soils are right and all this stuff. How come there isn't just like an M1, A1 bridge that you can just put in every single time?
Well, that's just it, Lloyd. Every bridge that we put in, at least in Bedford County, it is over a creek or a holler or some stream, and the environment changes. So each site's a little bit different. There's adjoining property owners that we have to, you know, account for. There's varying soil conditions. All those things have to go into the consideration when we design a bridge.
So you just can't go to the bridge company and say, I want P17, and it's kind of fits, and we'll fill in the difference. I mean,
we could, but not very many people would like that,
okay.
Probably.
All right. Well, I mean, I didn't mean to make light of it, but, you know, it seems like you have to reinvent it every time.
Right.
And is that why it takes so long to put one of these up?
Yeah, there's a lot of planning. I mean, the bridge replacement and bridge construction process is it's a long process. We need to make sure that all those various factors are considered. A big issue also is right of way. We need to make sure that we're interacting with property owners and accounting for their needs and their rights in the whole process. So that's probably one of the longest pieces of the actual design process, is clearing all the right-of-way issues, making sure that we're not encroaching on somebody's property without their permission and all those types of things.
And what about the things we keep hearing about, bog turtles and little worms we have to worry about, and those kind of impact studies? I guess you're involved in that as well?
We are. And, yeah. You know, some people make light of those. Sometimes, you know, it seems somewhat...
I personally have never seen a bog turtle. What's it look like?
I don't know. I've never seen one either. Well, maybe I have, and I just never knew it.
All right.
But, you know, a big thing that we deal with also is bats, and people kind of make light of that. But, you know, it's important that we consider all those factors. If we just blindly go through and, you know, impact the habitats of these animals, it could have a lasting impact on the environment as a whole.
So. And I'll bet bridges in this kind of infrastructure last a lot longer than they used to. I mean, what you build them with today is
pretty
good, yeah.
We also beat them up a lot more than we used to. So.
Bigger vehicles, heavy things like that.
Yeah.
Our guest, one of our guests today is Aaron Craig. You're hearing him. He is the professional engineer with P. Joseph Lehman Incorporated, and Lehman Engineers is the engineering firm that has worked for Bedford County for, according to Marty, 40 years. That's older than some people in this room. That's pretty impressive. So that's good. Marty, the transportation bill, we saw in the papers and on television that the Congress has gone through great machinations to do it. And, of course, our congressman, at least down in Bedford County, is Bill Schuster, and he's the chairman of that committee. So everybody's very aware that that kind of thing goes on.
Right.
How does that affect your firm when these things happen? I mean, they're going to approve new funding. There's going to have new projects. Are you going to be seeing some good things happen here at Lehman next year, probably?
We sure hope so, Lloyd. And you're absolutely right. Congressman Schuster had a direct impact on that as chairman of that committee. You know, for years, we were just making extensions of old transportation bills. This is a brand new transportation bill. That we have, and we have state transportation bill as well. So it does have a direct impact on us, and we are seeing that trickle down. You know, it takes a while till it trickles down to the street, but we are seeing the impact of that with more projects coming out and more activity happening at the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation and the Turnpike Commission.
Now, in Bedford County, do you work on things other than roads? I mean, you work in their buildings? Do you have anything to do with their construction of their physical plant in the county, or is it just highways and things?
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that, if you
can. As needed. We've had some small involvement with the courthouse and the parking garage, more on the back end than in the actual design and construction, as that whole project was bid out to a design firm.
Right.
But as needed, we do help them out with other projects.
Counties don't build roads. Does this limit your ability to work in this environment? So if you see a road that you don't like in a township, call you right now. I'll give you a phone number at the end of the show and make sure I call you.
I think, you know, not to interrupt that, I think that, Lloyd, I know in Bedford County there are no county-owned bridges.
Roads.
Roads. Right, yeah. I'm sorry, I beg your pardon, roads.
Well, no county has a road, to my knowledge, in Pennsylvania. I think it is.
Okay.
There might be.
I lived in Chester County for most of my life, and they didn't build roads, and Delaware County didn't build roads, so maybe it's the same. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, they're all thinking about this. You should watch this. They're all kind of looking at each other going, hey, what if we build roads?
I have seen...
This radio guy may be wrong, you know?
I have seen designations on old documentation referring to county roads.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know if at some
point... something to do with Governor Pinchot. There was something that changed. When he offloaded all the roads to the townships. I remember that.
I know in some of the surrounding states that we do work.
Oh, definitely the other surrounding states, sure.
Counties do a lot of the transportation infrastructure.
And they have cops. You see, in Pennsylvania, there are no county cops.
Correct.
So maybe that's why they don't take care of the roads. Our guests are Marty Malone. I'll try to get back on this. Our guest is Marty Malone and Aaron Craig. Aaron is a professional engineer, and Marty is the client services director of the firm here. And we're talking about civil engineering and how it impacts on you directly. And you directly, Marty, I want to ask you, when you see somebody with those little signs they spin around, you know, when you're driving through a construction project, that road guard is a pretty important person, it would seem to me. Because the project would be definitely impaired if they didn't have him out there. You know? So we should be nice to them.
We should slow down.
And
we should be nice and we should obey the speed limit.
Yeah, right. Because those guys are out there and they're not there to watch for traffic. They're out there to do their work.
No, and I know PennDOT takes safety of construction workers very seriously and tracks that constantly.
So did your firm ever get involved in the whole combination of getting the road guards and getting the... all the people, all the pieces out there, or is that someone else that does that?
At sometimes, if we're doing work, say survey work in the preparation for design or bridge inspection work, we will have we will hire sub-consultants to do or subcontractors to do traffic control for us in order to protect that work zone while we're out there. Sure.
Because I've seen these private companies been popping up called flagmen and people like that, that now that's all they do. And I thought, well, that's a brilliant idea. I mean, now you got you don't have to tie up a perfectly good construction guy to go and be a road guard when you have these other people do it. So I don't know what genius came up with that idea, but that was a good one. Yeah,
absolutely.
I think a lot of our involvement in that also, and correct me if I'm wrong, is the inclusion of maintenance and protection of traffic in any design that we would do for any project.
Well, when we come back, we're going to meet somebody new that's here also, Chuck Myers, and he's going to be talking to us about something a little different here, but this has been a very interesting discussion with the P. Joseph Lehman Incorporated, and I actually visited him today in Duncansville. I'm in Duncansville, right?
You are.
I'm going with that. The Bedford County Chamber of Commerce proudly supports and celebrates the business community of the Bedford County region. To learn more, visit them online at bedfordcountychamber.com, and don't forget the program is being brought to you today by Destination Delco and Delaware County, and also the Thomas Chevrolet Subaru folks right here in Bedford. When Bedford County Speaks continues.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. Long before electronic ignitions, in-dash entertainment, alloy wheels, and moonroofs, our family has provided your family with worry-free transportation and reliable service. One of the great things about living in Bedford County is that all of us still appreciate personal service and the value of a reputation. So many things we want today are measured only by appearance and price. At Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, we strive to do more for you so that we can succeed. In all the years we've been in business, we've never lost sight of the fact that purchasing a car is a big deal for any family, including my own. Your car or truck is your connection to the outside world, whether it be your job, church, or family. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru understands your needs, and that is why we invite you to visit us first. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, for buying a car or truck is always worry-free.
This is Barry Galera, County Commissioner of Bedford County, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, let's head back to today's Bedford County Speaks.
Well, I'm having fun with this. I certainly hope you are. We have a new guest. His name is Chuck Myers, and he'll be joining Marty in this portion of the program. Chuck, I understand that you do a lot of work with District 9, and for the purposes of full disclosure and information to everyone, District 9 is the part of PennDOT that serves Bedford County. But they serve other counties as well, not just or Bedford County, right? They have other pieces of the state.
That's correct, yeah. They have six counties, right?
Six.
Bedford County, Fulton County, Blair County, Cambria County, Hunting County.
This is why
how many was that?
This is why you are who you are, because you know all this.
Yeah, our region right. Is all controlled by District 9.
So maybe you could give us a little tutorial on the difference between a state road and a township road, because District 9 controls all the state roads and bridges and everything. So what is... Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I think just in general, I would say they're built to different standards, different geometrical standards, different pavement thicknesses for strength of the road. And even within the state, they have, they have four-digit SRs, three-digit SRs.
What does that mean, SR?
Well, so your four-digit, your SR is your state road.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a four-digit state road, like, 3099 or 3022, right?
Sometimes I always wondered what those numbers meant.
Right.
So is that how you know what the road is?
Well, that kind of gives you a clue as to the classification of the road. That would be probably your closest thing to a regular township local road, and gotcha. Then you get into your three-digit. You just look at the number. Gotcha. So there's different classifications and functional classifications of state roads. So they have a class of roads that's pretty close to a township road, and then, moving up into collectors and arterials, where you have, Route 30 running right through Bedford. So that's your two-digit SR, just like 22 runs through
Hollingsburg. So I came over here to this office on Route 22.
Right.
I was up in Johnstown. Terrible thing happened on the way up here. My wife decided she wanted to go to Boskov's when she heard I was doing this interview. So because of you, Marty, this is going to be a very expensive radio interview, at least for me.
Yeah, well.
So I came down Route 22. That's not the other day. I came down Route 22. That is a state road, even though it's a big four-lane highway.
It's a state road, and it's part of the national highway system.
Gotcha.
Right.
Okay.
Lloyd, you'll probably run into my wife up there.
Okay. So I remember when I lived in a small township, they had a bunch of township roads, and then all of a sudden you come across a little state road, which is a little bit of a thing. And they were always seen to be in the big discussion about whether or not they should make it a township road. And the township didn't want it because they didn't want the cost of it. And they said, well, they should let the state keep it. And the state grumbled that it was just a little baby road. Why are we coming ahead to fix a road that's a mile long?
Well, that's,
are we still seeing that?
Right. Well, that's the whole argument is who's going to maintain the thing. Who's going to plow the snow and tar and chip it every spring or whatever the case may be, is who's going to maintain it. And, everybody's looking for money. It's costly, and the cost goes up every year. So. Gotcha.
So this is actually very helpful to anybody listening to this because it gives you a better insight of why things are. Now, are there any gravel and dirt roads left in the state road system? They used to have them, but I don't know if they still have them or not.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, but I don't know offhand.
Yeah. I would not be surprised if there are
these mountains and so forth, you'd probably find some.
Right, that are still state roads.
But for the most part, we're talking about a road infrastructure that's paved for the most part. Are there minimum widths and so forth that they have to have?
I don't think so to be a state road. Your width requirement comes in really if it's going to be striped. So a road's got to be have a 20-foot pavement width where you're going to get the double yellow stripe.
Gotcha.
So you'll go down a lot of state roads that look like they're one lane roads because they don't have the stripe in the middle. That's just because they don't meet a certain width requirement.
I think I learned here. Marty, you had mentioned to me that that the funding in Pennsylvania kind of gets moved all over the place. I know, for example, that some years ago, the Turnpike had to give up some of its toll revenue and give it to PennDOT.
Mm-hmm.
And now you tell me that they're after such things like the state police.
Yeah.
The
challenge is...
Is there any end to this?
I hope so, and I think so. Yeah. It's really challenging to increase and keep up with funding to meet the needs in Pennsylvania. People are driving more efficient cars. gas taxes are not being increased to keep up with the needs. You know, the state and the federal government have become really innovative in trying to generate revenue for transportation. And there are, you know, challenges like the state police issue, you know, and the state police is a very necessary.
Yeah.
And we're so thankful that we have them in the Commonwealth. But that was basically taking funding from the transportation pot of money, Lloyd. And what I understand is that there's legislation pending that would, you know, limit that, put an end to that, or at least a cap on it, I should say.
Yeah.
I don't know the specifics on it. I don't know that anybody does right now. But I think that is in the works.
Well, one of the things about the state police is that many, many, many townships in Pennsylvania, that is the police.
Oh, yeah.
There is no other police.
Absolutely.
That's it.
Yeah.
You have your state police barracks nearby, and that's what you get.
My township here, that's state police.
And I remember when I lived down in the Kennett Square area, they have a state police barracks down there called Avondale. And Avondale covered a huge physical distance. And I always wondered how they did that. And he said, oh, well, we have guys stationed in pieces of it, so they don't come from point A to point B. They're already in point B.
Yeah.
So, you know, I learned something like I learned from you. So it's very interesting to me. So our guests are Chuck Myers and Marty Malone of the Lehman Engineering firm. Marty, I want to ask you, engineering a highway or a building or a bridge or even a light stanchion is a process that begins at the beginning and ends at the end. And what I mean is that you just can't go into your file drawer and say, I need a light stanchion. When we talked to Aaron in the first part of the program, he said it's different every time, isn't
it? Yes.
So this is why you have a firm like this. This is why Bedford County's hired you to do this, is that it isn't easy. You've got to have really good professionals doing this.
You're right, Lloyd, and we're not reinventing the wheel every time we start from scratch. I mean, we're relying on close to half a century of experience and efficiencies that we can bring to the table at Lehman's. So we're not really starting from scratch, but site conditions are different on every project in different parts of the state. You know, we were just up in District 1 up in Oil City last week, and the big discussion there was the site conditions that were caused from glaciation. That didn't happen in this part of the state. So there's a whole set of parameters and constraints there that we don't have here.
You mean the dirt moves?
No, from when the glaciers came
is
in,
it
caused different site conditions and geology. You know, in parts, we don't have a lot of it in Pennsylvania, but I know we have some of it, seismic issues. You know,
limestone's a big one. The karst areas, and I mean that the geology is a big deal on any structure. I mean, the foundations are always different. You know, your substructure, you know, what you're drilling into is always different, and you can get into big trouble. You miss something.
We have professional geologists on staff that handle those issues as well. So District 6 that you mentioned, that's Philadelphia area.
So I guess it can happen in any district, but you mentioned District 1 up in Oil City. They have their own little set of interesting problems.
Yeah. Different. The other thing that changes a lot is environmental regulation in DEP. You know, those regulations, they don't get any looser. You know?
Yeah, they
and they change all the time.
They don't throw out old ones on the way, do they?
Right. You know, so it's always getting more stringent. There's always more requirements. You know, different requirements and stipulations you have to meet, and that changes on every job. And that all takes time. It takes a long time to prepare those reports, get them reviewed and approved, and the project permitted.
Our guest is Chuck Myers and Marty Malone of the P. Joseph Lehman Company. And Chuck, you just made me think of something I meant to bring up. Could you tell me why we need sound walls? Sound walls seem to be an epidemic. We see sound walls everywhere now.
Well, sure. That's, you know, not in my backyard. You know, you buy a nice house somewhere in a nice residential development, and, you know, a highway comes through, or a highway gets widened and upgraded, and speeds increase and noise goes up, and you know, you don't want that highway noise in your backyard. So I guess, you know, to make a project feasible, that's a way to mitigate those concerns, is to put the sound barriers up.
Because I've seen they're starting to put some up in the widening of the turnpike.
Sure.
And is that expensive to put up a sound wall? It looks expensive.
Yeah, I mean, nothing in the construction arena is cheap.
Well, I mean, does it cost as much as the road?
Yeah. You know, I can't say for sure. We're working on a section of Turnpike in the Monroeville area right now, a 3-mile section, and we're going through. You know, that's a very commercial and heavily populated section of Turnpike, and there's sound barriers on it proposed.
I remember when we did the field view on that project. It was either before or right after we got that project, the team got that project. And we were looking at homes that were at least $500,000, if not more, that were going to be directly next to the widening of
right.
that.
Right. That's what happens.
Yeah.
But I guess my view would be, okay, I get that part. But if I go build a house next to the Pennsylvania Turnpike, I'm not sure that the Turnpike's responsibility is particularly heavy in my direction if I chose to live there. It's like the people that move next to a dairy farm and complain about the smell.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that there may be some limits. That's what I meant when I seem to see them a lot.
There's essentially some protection in place. I mean, the Turnpike's not doing it out of goodwill. I don't believe so, anyways.
They would prefer not to have it.
Yeah, I mean,
cost down.
It's part of getting the permit for the project.
Well, you guys have been pretty good, and I want to thank you very much. And what have we missed here, Mr. Malone?
You know, we in the beginning of the interview, we talked a little bit about how long it takes to finish a project. And I think what a lot of people don't realize is, you know, and I can't speak for PennDOT nor the Turnpike Commission, but public involvement is very important to both of those entities. And a component on almost every project that we see.
You really should go to the hearings.
Yeah, I mean, they're very informative.
If PennDOT gets up in a gym or something, they show them pictures and drawings and maps and stuff.
A township office.
Right. And I guess you do a lot of those presentations, Chuck.
All the time, yeah. And we do that to solicit input so we can try and identify problems before we get out to construction. And there are problems. So.
And they truly do want the public involved as a partner in these projects. And the other thing that we just touched on was the length of time that it takes to do some of these projects, Lloyd. I think, and we did talk about environmental requirements and reviews, but there are other review agencies that are involved in every project that
really?
Do. Yeah, Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission.
Mm-hmm. So what do the fish people do on a project like this? Are they in there to check the water or things like that?
Well, it depends on, you know, how if the stream is trout stocked, for instance, or, you know, what the classification of the stream is. You know, that'll have certain restrictions, whether you can work in the stream at a certain time of year. If it's a navigable stream, you have canoeing to worry about. You put signs up for canoeing. You know, that's called aids to a navigation plan. You know, there's a litany of things to consider that
you just can't
throw a bridge. Pennsylvania Historic Museum Commission gets involved. Federal money is involved, FHWA is involved in the review process. So there are a lot of stakeholders in every project that we work on.
Well, Chuck said that you're seeing more and more regs coming from this whole alphabet soup of organizations. So that's not going to likely slow down.
No, I wouldn't expect it to slow down.
Jim Durante says everybody wants to get into the act. You know, that's.
Yeah, you know, and it's not that it's not unfounded. You know, there are legitimate concerns and things that should be addressed. It's just a step in the process that takes time. Yeah. It really does. Yeah.
Well, thank you again to both of you. You've been informative as always. I love coming here. I just learned this really cool things about it. Of course, it interests me. I like roads. I always have. And if I come back, I'm going to talk to you guys about railroads. You guys do anything on railroads, by the way?
The bridge is over railroads.
Okay. Well, we'll talk a little bit about that. Anyway, you've been great. I want to thank Aaron and Craig. He was in the first part of the program, but he ran away. So, and Chuck Myers, he's still very much with us. And Marty Malone, thank you very much for
it's our pleasure.
Doing this. You guys are good sports, and I appreciate your
thank you.
To Duncansville and abuse you a little bit.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Bedford County Speaks was presented this morning by DestinationDelco.com. From Philly to the Brandywine, that's Destination Delco. And by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, right here in Bedford, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. I look forward to joining you next time right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, enjoy your weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks, Listen each Saturday, beginning at 8:30, to hear about the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is a presentation of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310 WBFD. Thanks for listening.